This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Really glad you tuned in today. Happy Friday to you. Well, we are broadcasting live from the beautiful campus of Focus on the Family. A second day in a row, we had a powerful show, actually a hilarious show yesterday with Dr. Greg Smalley and his wife, Erin. We laughed a lot, but there was a lot of content, too. And if you want some encouragement in your marriage or need a good laugh, make sure you catch the podcast of yesterday's show. And you can do that easily on our website, faithradionet.com, and share that podcast with a friend. Well, we've got another great show lined up for you today. We're in studio with Bob Walaszewski, our friend and founder of Plugged In. And he's a movie critic. He analyzes movies and media from a biblical perspective. And we are going to talk about the impact of media on our lives, on our families. And we've got a great show ahead. So let me tell you about him and we'll get him on the show. Bob Walaszewski is a director of Focus on the Family's Plugged In department, which features the Plugged In online website. And you can find that at pluggedin.com. And I'll just say, when my kids were young, they always had to go there first before they would come to ask us about a movie. The site provides up-to-date reviews of new movie releases and information on the hottest music, TV, and DVDs, and video games impacting popular youth culture. Bob reaches a large radio audience weekly as well with his syndicated Plugged In movie reviews, as well as serving as a weekly guest on Focus's popular Weekend Magazine radio program. As a spokesperson for Plugged In, Bob has been interviewed extensively by major media outlets such as CNN, CNBC, MSNBC's Scarborough Country, and the Alan Combs Show on Fox News Radio Network. A former youth pastor, Bob joined the Focus on the Family team in 1991. He's married to Lisa. They have two kids in college. Bob enjoys snow and water skiing, tennis, running, and backpacking. Bob, great to be with you again.
Great to be with you, Susie. One thing I have to correct you. I don't enjoy running. I just
run.
It's kind of like brushing my teeth.
Exactly.
You know, but I've been very consistent. Have 11 marathons under my belt.
Wow.
And but the last one was 2004, so it's kind of the wow is kind of a past wow now.
But it's still a wow, and you look like a runner.
Well, I did it this morning before I came to work.
So. Yeah, so the benefits outweigh the pain, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right.
Do like that.
Very good. Well, you've been on the show before. You know we start out talking scripture, and I'm excited to hear about your passage. It's Revelations 21, verses 1 through 4. Share the passage first, and then tell us why you chose that.
Okay. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." And here's the part that really hits me, verse 4. "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away."
That is amazing.
Couple reasons for this verse. While on vacation, I was just recently on vacation, I happened to finish a book and read two new books. And one of the books I read is that it's kind of controversial. The four-year-old boy that says he went to heaven while having appendicitis. Heaven is for real.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the scriptures highlighted in the book, Heaven is for Real. And I like that little book, especially because that little four-year-old boy knew some things that he shouldn't have known at that age. For instance, that he had another sister. Not only did he have a living sister, but his parents had had a miscarriage. And he says, "Mommy, I met my other sister while I was in heaven." And they said, "Oh, honey, you just have one sister. You must mean your cousin." "No, Mommy, I met when I was in heaven with Jesus, I met my other sister." And they didn't know within the miscarriage if it was a boy or a girl until then.
And he didn't even know there was a miscarriage.
No, the parents had never shared that. He was 4 years old. That would not have been something they would have shared at that particular time. So, and that's reason number one. Reason number two, and I'm sure you can probably relate to this, there just seems to be a lot of people that I know that have been in crisis mode lately. people that have gone through divorces that have just shocked my socks off, that I thought, I can't believe that couple. People, I just heard 20 minutes ago, a guy was in my office and said, I just found out my mom, my mom just had a double mastectomy. And I mean, it's sickness, it's cancer, whatever. And I think it's the comfort of this, knowing that there's a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, the holy city coming down, where there will be no mourning, no crying, no pain, no death. And we all know that, but sometimes we just kind of need to re-know that. And and I think on vacation, I kind of relearned that. It sunk down deeper inside me.
I'm so glad you shared that, because I, too, know so many people in huge crises and people whose marriages I never thought would end. I'm just shocked.
Yeah.
It's like the enemy has launched an all-out attack on God's people in a whole new level, you know. And, Bob, I read that book in my father's last days, sitting by his bedside, and it brought me such comfort. And I loved it as well. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. So thank you for sharing that. And I think somebody's listening today who needed the reminder that this is a fleeting life, and God is, he's preparing a table for us, isn't he?
Yeah, somebody right now that's really hurting, that's probably wiping their own tears away because their husband said, hey, I'm leaving you. Or their wife said, you know, I've never loved you. Or you just found out that grandma's just passed away, or whatever it might be. And all those things hurt. There's no doubt about it. And we do go through pain. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day. Stay steadfast, brothers and sisters. Coming a day when there won't be any tears. You know, those of us who know Christ Jesus.
That's right. Boy, this is why we do this at the beginning of every show, is to bring scripture. And there's just times people bring it to life. And you just did that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming with that. Well, you've been analyzing media, DVDs, movies for a long time. And I want to make the joke and say you're getting up there in years, but you're really not.
Yes.
It's just that I'm getting up there in years, right? But you have been doing this for a long time. Is there anything that you know now that you didn't know before?
Oh, boy. You know, as of next month, I will have been at Focus 21 years. I guess I will make a career out of this. After 21. Probably 19 and a half, 19 and three quarters, not quite 20 yet, have been in this department. It was originally called Youth Culture, now plugged in. Seen a lot of different things. A couple things that I'm actually excited about that compared to 20 years ago. On the movie side of things, although there continues to be a rash of horrific, you know, too risque, too raunchy, too violent, and, you know, too many, you know, a misuse of Jesus's name or tons of them, there definitely is that side of the coin. There's also been a move underfoot where people have arranged the financing to put out movies that are benefiting the kingdom. So I'm excited about some trends like The Courageous and The Fireproof. There's an upcoming movie that we're going to chat about a little later in the show called Unconditional. There's always been positive movies, but what I'm seeing is that there are people that are putting the money, they're bringing the money to the table with the intention of making a positive, world-changing, we can make a difference. If people come see this movie, they'll be more motivated. There's a film coming out in April, for instance. It's called Not Today. It's on human trafficking. It's not a documentary on human trafficking, which really would have been that easy, and I say that with quotes. I'm even putting my fingers up as we're in the studio here, in quotes, to do a documentary. And documentaries are not easy, but they actually decided, no, we don't want a documentary. That's been done on trafficking. We want to do a story-based film. So a church in Yorba Linda Friends Church in Southern California, doing like Sherwood Baptist in Albany, Georgia did, put up the money, hired the actors, already been filmed. I see this cute little film. Cute isn't the right word. It's a great, solid film. Shot in India, which I just came back from India as well, where at the invitation of Yorba Linda. And again, why do I like it? And what's the trend that I'm seeing? People coming to the table saying, we want to change something in our world. We could get behind a pulpit and we could preach it. Nothing wrong with that. We could write a book about it and people could read it. Nothing wrong with that. We could come to mics and do it on the radio. Great thing to do. But we also could take back the arts. And when churches and Christians and believers form companies to take back the arts, It just thrills me.
Oh, so powerful. We had one of the Kendrick brothers on a few months ago, and to think they take so seriously this call, the kind of prayer that they put in before they ever take one step towards a film. They know what they're up against, and not very many people take them seriously. And yet there are some big, big wigs in the Hollywood industry who called them and said, why don't I know who you are? Mm-hmm. You're on these top lists, and where'd you come from? And what are you doing? And it really is a facing the giant kind of thing. But I marvel at the power of God when you steward your craft and you put yourself on the line for it. I think it's powerful.
Yeah, and I don't know if they said they have another film in the works, but my guess is last time I talked to these guys, they won't even confirm that they're definitely doing a fifth film unless God has told them. And the reason being is, like you said, they are so much about, if God's not in this, we're not going to do it. If the fourth film that we've ever done is the last film, and that's where God only wants us to bring four films, we're fine with that. But they will take a day. There's four senior guys, the Kendricks brother, Alex and Stephen, Jim McBride, and Pastor Katz of this church. The four of them, in their past, and I'm sure they'll do it with number five, they go to a cabin up in the woods. They spend several days praying and fasting and just saying, God first, do you want us to do another film? And assuming that you probably do and you might, what would the topic of that film be? And all the time people are giving them ideas for their next film. Hey, if you do another film, you ought to consider this. They don't bring that to the table, as far as I know. They come trying to seek God to try to say, we want to find out what God's heart. So they did Marriage with Fireproof. They did Parenting or Fatherhood, especially with Courageous. A lot of topics out there. It'll be very interesting if God has them do a fifth, what life-changing, world-changing message they'll bring to the table with that one.
And be praying for those Kendrick brothers. We asked that last time, one of them, I can't remember if it was Stephen or Alex, which I'm sure would be a great insult to. I don't remember which one you were. But
Alex is the one you see in the films more.
Then it was Stephen.
Okay.
Yes,
Stephen is the brother behind.
That's right.
Yeah. He's in them too, but he takes a very minor role.
If you want to hear that interview, we played clips of Courageous. Such a powerful show. That's also on our website. But he was also saying, you know what, we're not going to do anything without the Lord, but we're in the praying stage. So I do ask you, pray for them, because the impact, boy, if you could hear the impact of what those films are doing, absolutely amazing. Well, hey, if you just tuned in today, really glad you joined us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We are out at the beautiful campus of Focus on the Family in Colorado Springs. In studio, I have Bob Walaszewski. He's written a great book, Plugged in Parenting, How to Raise Media-Savvy Kids with Love, Not War. So we're going to welcome your questions, but we're taking them by email today. And maybe you've got a question about a current film, about a DVD, how to navigate these waters with your kids. We'll take the questions. Email me, Susie@faithradionet.com. Susie@faithradionet.com. So talk to me. I haven't been in the movies in a while. What's in the theater right now, Bob?
On a family perspective, today, here on Friday, August the 17th, a Disney film called The Odd Life of Timothy Green debuts. It is one of those rare moments in movie history for me where I gave a movie a perfect score from family friendliness. It tells the story of an infertile couple. They hear the word definitively from their doctor. They are never going to have children. So to try to put closure and get this behind them, one evening they sit down and say, we always wanted a son. What would he have been like had we had one? And they write down on a piece of paper, oh, he'd have been honest to a fault. And, oh, he would have scored the winning goal in a soccer game. And they put all this on a piece of paper in a little box, and then they go outside and they bury it in their vegetable garden. Lo and behold, something magical, mysterious happens in the middle of the night. They hear a sound. They go into the nursery, and here's a 10-year-old boy, muddy from the garden, with green vines growing out the bottom of his leg. And it turns out they are a family. Now, I gave the film a 5 out of 5 for family friendliness. I would have knocked it down a little bit for plot holes that you could drive a truck through. But like if you really had a boy in your nursery and he has green vines coming out, wouldn't you kind of go get some weed spray, weed killer, or take him to a specialist?
Maybe some ointment for that. I don't know.
But you have to kind of set the I would have done if this had been me part and just go with it. And if you do that, it was kid friendly. And it was actually a cute little film. Odd Life of Timothy Green. I was looking at the list of the the top charting films in the nation right now. In fact, I brought it with me. Number 7, even though it's been out a few weeks, Ice Age Continental Drift. It's the 4th Ice Age movie. It was a film I gave a 4.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. So, interestingly enough, there are a couple of films out there that in the top 10. Of course, I can't say Timothy Green, but I think it will definitely be top 10 by next week that has a family. You know, they're movies you could take your kids to. And that's another thing. It just seems to me we go through times where there's just a few more of those than usual. And I think that's one of the trends I've seen. Again, some more, just a little bit more positive films that you could take your family. And I'm glad for that, even though there's a bunch that you couldn't take your kids to on the same list.
Well, you know, if they're done well and it's a great storyline, those family-friendly films do well. And say, don't they?
They do. Here's a little bit of a rub, though. On the Christian side, and I've seen a lot of independent Christian films, there's kind of this belief that if I make it, they will come. Hmm. If I build it, they will come. And sadly, that's not really how it works. I think the first that more independent Christian filmmakers need to do is line up their distribution channels first, then make their film, and then release it. So Okay. Anyways, I've got a stack of them sitting on my desk, well-intentioned, well-meaning people, good little films, cute little positive films that are not going anywhere.
Okay. All right. Talk to us about some of the films in the theaters, the theater that bother you.
Well,
you're bummed about maybe.
Here's
huh?
a mixed bag. Number 4 last week, Hope Springs. I bring this one up. Meryl Streep, Tommy Lee Jones, Stephen Carell. It is a well-intentioned movie. It is a focus on the family themed movie. It just doesn't deliver. What is it? The couple have been married 31 years, we find out in the movie, and they're in such a rut. There is no spark in their life. There's no spark of intimacy in all the meanings of what being intimate in a marriage means. He gets up at 7 o'clock. He hits at the same time, walks downstairs at the same time. Meryl Streep's character hands him bacon and eggs every day. He walks to work, gives her a peck on the cheek, comes home, falls asleep watching Golf Channel on TV. They go to separate bedrooms, and it's day in, day in, day out. She gets tired of it, and she decides to seek out a book. And when she finds a book in a bookstore, she then tracks the author, Steve Carell's character, plays it straight, doesn't play a funny man in this movie, who then counsels them in their marriage. Tommy Lee Jones' character goes kicking and screaming. He doesn't want marriage counseling, but eventually softens and things happen. That part I like. What I don't like, a film that I gave it just a 2.5 out of 5, is that because of intimacy having many aspects of that meaning, the film concentrates more on the physical aspect of intimacy in ways that are just inappropriate to show on screen, and some of the things that are talked about and how they talk about them on screen. You just kind of go, ugh, you know, but there's, at its heart, one could say, wow, it would have been a film that I really wish that they would have run by some well-meaning people who know the family, because this one had the potential. Bourne Legacy, number 1 film in the nation. It's a 4th Bourne movie, action adventure. I actually thought it was pretty well written. It keeps you on the edge of your seat. We have a different Bourne. We find out in this movie that Jason Bourne's not been the only CIA agent that's been genetically engineered by CIA operatives, changing to make them smarter, faster, you know, better than the common man. There's actually been 9 in this program, but the CIA's been exposed. They're going to shut down the program, and shut down means also kill the operatives. The CIA, according to the Bourne film, believes that if you have to kill people, agents, you just got to do it for the benefit of the country, so be it. Anyways, but what I don't like about it, especially, it was nice that it was interesting. It was nice that no one had to end under the sheets before the credits roll. I give it credit there. But one misuse of our Savior's name as if it were a cuss word, it incredibly bothers me. Just one. If there's 2, I mean, it's fingernails down a chalkboard. If it's 3, this one had nearly 6. There was 5 of those. I don't understand, in a day and age where we try to be so sensitive and tolerant of everyone's views and beliefs, why there's no tolerance of Christians' belief that he's our Savior and we respect that name? Mm-hmm. Or do we respect that name? How many believers go and see that film and would say, you're kidding me. They misused Jesus. I didn't even notice. You know, I have a blog currently. I posted it last week on our website from a pastor. I actually restated some of his words. His name is Craig Geschel. Never met the man.
Craig Groeschel.
Is that how
I've
you pronounce
had him on the show
it?
A few times. Go ahead.
Maybe he talked about this. I didn't know how you pronounce it. Craig Groeschel. He talked about, he asked some of his staff people at his church, he said, what do you recommend for a funny movie? And they said, oh, you got to watch The Hangover. And he's like, okay, I never heard of it. And so he went and did some research on the film. Sadly, the one thing I didn't like about Craig, it wasn't that he didn't go to Plugged In. He went to somebody else. But okay, Craig, I forgive you for that. But he said he found out before, and he didn't see it, but he said there were 91 F-bombs in the movie. So he went back to his staff at his church and said, guys, there's 91 F-bombs in this film. You told me this is a great movie. And he said, to a man or to a woman, they all said, I didn't notice. And I'm thinking, that's one per minute. How could you not notice that there's 90? Have we gotten that hardened as believers culturally that we don't notice that? You know.
And he actually polled his congregation, and that was like the number one movie, that people were saying.
So you're familiar with the story I'm telling. You've already.
Well, do you know the rest of the story?
No, keep going.
So behind the pulpit then on a Sunday, once he learned that a lot of the people in this congregation had not only seen it, but thought, yeah. I mean, it's one thing to see it. Another thing to say, no, really, you should see it. It's great. And so he said, I just got to ask a question. He said, my next message, how many F-bombs are okay to drop into my message? Is 5 too many? 2 too many? Is 1 F-bomb too many?
In my
sermon.
Uh-huh.
And they're all kind of deer in the headlights. He said, how is it any different at a movie? And I thought, there you go. Way to boil it down.
Yeah. Hmm. Anyways, so Bourne Legacy, its big problem to me was the misuse of the Lord's name. Hmm. I just don't understand why a writer would want to even put that in. I think that we should be culturally more sensitive, but maybe even a worse problem is that believers seem to not notice. And I just think that I think our Lord notices.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So how are you impacted? I asked you this last time you were on, and in a little bit on the other side, we're going to talk about really tangible impact that media has on children, on adolescents, on teens, and how people actually act out of the things that they see, whether they admit it or not. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But for you personally, Bob, how do you do this? How do you watch things that you feel like might poison your spirit? I know a little bit of the answer because we've talked about it before, but I think it's important for you to answer.
Yeah, I usually answer this in a couple different ways. Number one, there are a lot of people praying for us across the country, so I know they're really helping protect us. Number two, my wife, I've heard her answer it and say, my husband prays every single day. Mm. And starting in the mid-80s, I just... Put on a pot of coffee and sit down with my prayer journal and a pot of coffee, and I try to knock out an hour just talking to the Lord, trying to, you know, keep my heart pure and clean. But thirdly, I do believe that God does call people uniquely for various roles that you can't say, well, every Christian can do. For instance, Dr. Dobson, who founded Focus on the Family in the 80s, was asked by Edwin Meese to be on the Pornography Commission. Dr. Dobson will say that was the hardest assignment of his entire life. One can't, you know, say, well, you know, from that, then many, many Christians should be exposed to pornography. No, there was one man called at one time to be on a commission that was exposed to the raunchiest of the raunchiest, but he was a voice of the culture in a very powerful way about pornography. I think in a different sort of way, the Plugged In team, my team, there's 8 of us, have been called by God. I think he uniquely protects us, equips us, but it doesn't make it easy, just like it wasn't easy for Dr. Dobson to be on the Pornography Commission. But I think it is a calling for this season of our lives. For me, it's been a 19-plus year season. I don't know how much longer, but I thank the Lord for his protection.
Well, what I've always liked about that answer when I've asked you it a few times is that you walk carefully. You entrust yourself to God. You don't go, you know, callously as if, you know, you're never going to fall. I mean, it's like you hem yourself in with your walk with the Lord. And I know you mentioned one other time that you put this praise music on when you need to, just to isolate yourself and be with him. And I think that's just so wise, that, and you have accountability and all those things. And we really appreciate all that you do.
And I don't have to personally see a lot of the R movies. So I actually, for myself, somebody on our team does. As a team, if it's in wide release and it's R-rated on down, we cover them all. So some of my, on my team sees movies that I don't see. Personally, I try to see almost every PG-13 on down. Problem is, even in the PG-13 rating, many of those would have been R-rated just 5, 6, 7 years ago. So just because I see PG-13, some people went, oh, good, he doesn't see a lot of R's. Yeah, but I see a lot of PG-13. Mm-hmm. So the oh, good, it still needs a lot of prayer.
Absolutely. Be praying for Bob. Well, I'm talking to Bob Walaszewski. We're at Focus on the Family. We welcome your questions. If you got questions about movies or navigating the waters of media with your family, we're taking them by email today, Susie@faithradionet.com. Susie@faithradionet.com. In a moment, we'll talk about the rating system and just the real impact that media can have and why we need to walk wisely. More with Bob Walaszewski in just a moment. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. As I mentioned, we are out in Colorado Springs broadcasting live from Focus on the Family. They're such great friends, great hosts. In studio with Bob Walaszewski, we're talking about his book, Plugged in Parenting, How to Raise Media Savvy Kids with Love, Not War. This is a great resource. If you just, there's stats, there are stories, there's all kinds of information that you may need to just be equipped to help navigate the waters of media with your kids. And before the break, Bob, I said I wanted you to speak to the issue of the rating system and what you think, because it is so true. I wouldn't even let my kids see PG-13 sometimes because they were so raunchy. So I would be really curious to hear what you think about the rating system.
Yeah, in a nutshell, I often say you just can't trust the ratings. Mm. I'm glad that they exist to a certain degree. Usually the R is the one rating that you can trust. I say usually because The Passion of the Christ was rated R. That's not one. You can't just say, we'll never see an R-rated film. You have to allow yourself that one. And really, there's probably just a couple more. There are war movies that fall in that category as acceptable on the R. But for the most part, you just can't trust them. A PG-13 runs such a gamut from Blindside to, for instance, Hope Springs that we just talked about, you know, where the content, the raunchiness and the inappropriateness of a movie rating just, it's like, wait a minute, are we talking about the same type of film? Because you have to remember, according to the MPAA, what does it mean? What does a PG-13 mean? It means that when a child who's 12 years of age, boy or girl, reaches that magic age of 13, has that 13th birthday, at their birthday party, they should be able to go to see the likes of, and then you can, you know, epic movie, scary movie, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. I mean, the raunchy, so out of bounds, should have been rated R. I have a list by my computer in my office, and I just keep writing them up, you know, and it's long and they're gross. But sadly, there's just too many parents out there who have come, and maybe culturally, it's their neighbors are doing it, the people in their church are doing it. They're just saying, okay, you can't go to any R's, but as long as it's PG-13, you can go. And they're talking to their teenagers, you know, 13, 15, 17, and they're saying, but that's a terrible rule to have in a family, because again, essentially you're saying, I give you permission to be exposed by some of the most raunchy stuff in the world just because secular people who have no belief in God says that it's acceptable for a 13-year-old. That's a lot of faith to have in something called the Motion Picture Association of America.
I don't remember who quoted this in your book. You referenced somebody who said, and maybe it was a recording artist. I don't remember, but it was C.S. Lewis's grandson, I believe, where he was saying, those in authority and government authority aren't really your leaders, they're your rulers. But the leaders are those who shape your thinking through art and media and music, movies. And that's just sobering when you think about it. And so you send your kid off to a PG-13, washing your hands, going, well, it's not an R, and you think you're really doing an okay thing, but it's like a Trojan horse right into your home with messages that are contrary to your beliefs as Christians. And it is prevalent among Christians. So I want to talk to you for a moment about...
I just want to piggyback on that just a little bit. On our website, we do every week something we call the culture clip, so people can find that if they're... They're really just kind of news and quotes and tidbits, and we kind of search everything and we conglomerate it. And in just July 30th, so it was just a couple weeks ago, we had this. It's very short. I just want to read a little bit. It says, researchers have concluded that for every hour of exposure to sexual content in movies, teens were more than five times more likely to lose their virginity within 6 years. Quote, adolescents who are exposed to more sexual content in movies start having sex at younger age, have more sexual partners, and are less likely to use condoms with casual sexual partners, says Dr. Ross O'Hara, who led the study. Now, this was Dartmouth, which focused on 1,228 children ages 12 to 14 with follow-ups conducted 6 years later. We have more on that one, but essentially people get the gist. Surprise, surprise, that the movies are a teacher to our children. So when we, to use your words, when we send our children out to a movie, it's not just entertainment. It can be, but it oftentimes is a teaching session. But what are they teaching our children? At times, it's that anytime with anybody, for any reason, this is fine. That does not undergird the biblical principle of marriage and fidelity and faithfulness. So is it any wonder that this study found what it found? And so I think this is also a cautionary thing for parents who are listening to us, who say, you know, I think my kids are navigating the PG raunchy stuff pretty well. I don't think I'm going to change that. Well, are they? If they're really five times more likely than their peers, I would let that be a cautionary red flag here.
Well, a lot of the changes happen first internally. The core beliefs are shifted and altered. Your perspective is shifted. In fact, I was stunned to read in your book about how an incarcerated gang member admitted that he played Grand Theft Auto by day and then he lived it out by night, and he considered that video game virtual reality training. I want you to talk about that, because not only are we talking about these movies, but these games, when there's repetitive use, that has got to affect the wiring in our brain, no?
Well, yeah. You're basically getting rewarded for different levels in the game by how well you can kill, and you have to think about it. Now, honestly, there are millions of kids that can figure out the difference between the rightness of a game and the wrongness of real killing. But there are a few fringe people. I would suggest that many of the school shooters, I think we're going to get to that as well, are on that fringe. That's part of it. But for all those that would go that far, that would actually do something extremely violent, there are still those that would do things that we don't know about, that would hit a spouse with a fist or a backhand. And where did they learn that? Because of violent video games, violent movies, over and over and over again. Well, they're not going to make the news at 5 o'clock like the Aurora shooting or the Sikh shooter or Columbine or Jonesboro or Paducah or any of those. But it's nonetheless, if you go back to the roots, it's probably multifaceted roots, but at least one of them was the fact that they've been rewarded by being entertained or rewarded in a video game for doing something violent. And when it came time where they were mad and angry and someone wronged them, instead of doing it in a godly spirit, they lash out violently. Ah, related to video game playing, related to a movie.
It's really amazing. Just the other day, I was out at Target, and I raised three boys, but I happened to be walking through the young girls section, cutting through, and I was looking at the clothes that they were advertising for school, and my heart really literally dropped into my stomach. Uh-huh. And I thought, you know what? These outfits, these little outfits, are what prostitutes wore in the movies in the 80s, when they would portray a prostitute in the skin-tight pants, the big chunky shoes. These are for grade school kids. And, Bob, I couldn't help but think about when Jesus says, you know, if you make a little one stumble, woe to you.
It'd be better than a millstone.
You know, let's just talk about that, the eternal significance and even accountability for those who are really making all kinds of money on media, on fashion, all these things, but they're forcing our kids to grow up too fast.
Well, I would... One of the comments that I would say is that as parents, we've got the temptation, even those of us who are parents, we want our children to be well-liked. We want them to be popular. Can I use the word cool? We would like our children to be the ones that other kids look up to and say, you know, the Walaszewski kids, they're the cool ones. Everybody wants to go to their house. They want to dress like them. They want to talk like them. They want to walk like them. They want to play sports like them. They want to be cheerleaders like them. I mean, and quite frankly, there's nothing wrong with popularity unless we take the unbiblical shortcuts to get there. If you can use popularity as a platform to be a godly person, like a Tim Tebow type, then God bless popularity, kind of thing. But some parents say, well, gee, if my daughter wears the modest clothes in school and all her friends are wearing all the risque, sleazy stuff, then she's going to be the real nerdy girl of the bunch. She probably won't be popular. I, as her mother, knows what it's like to be picked on, to be heard. I was a little unpopular, or whatever it might be. And so they think, gee, if I'm going to make a mistake in parenting, either be too permissive or have a child that's not liked, okay, with my nose, I'll hold my nose and I'll say, honey, yes, you can buy that prostitute wear or whatever you just called it. And it's sad because really, you know, we just have to say, I love my children enough that I'm going to teach them to stand alone. I'm going to teach them to say, hey, others may, but you may not. We're going to dress modestly. We're going to watch things that are appropriate. We're going to make choices that are honoring God, even if all of our friends go another way.
Now, let's bring the pendulum all the other way, because I'm sure some are hearing this going, see, I know it's okay to send my child to school in a gunny sack. You know? And really, that's not what you're saying. You're not saying never go to movies and wear a bag. You know, I mean, right, there are cute clothes that are modest, and you're not totally anti-entertainment, so speak to that.
Yeah, I know we've been accused of that. I get emails. In fact, did I bring one of those? Yeah, I brought one down here to the studio. This is honestly, someone emailed this. Whoever does your movie reviews needs to cover themselves with gasoline and light a match.
Oh, my.
Yeah. People should be allowed to watch whatever they please without being informed of the movie's moral values. So, yes, we get accused of, you're go light, pour yourself gasoline on, light on match.
So because you can't listen to Bob?
You're so anti-entertainment. But the fact is, I am actually incredibly pro-entertainment, just not pro. I try to figure out what Christ himself must think about a movie. And it's just hard to come to the conclusion that when a film glamorizes something that he died on the cross to save me from, that he would be a fan of that film. So if a film glorifies adultery, let's say, there's a pot smoking scene in the movie where it's like, wow, wasn't that cool? We're hiring a guy. It's hard just to believe that my Savior is going to, if he were walking the face of the planet today with his 12 disciples, that he'd be saying, hey, Matthew, Thomas, Peter, we are going to the theater tonight. You know, but yet I can see Jesus saying we're going to the theater as long as it's a movie that meets the standards that honor and glorify him. There are a lot of films that are encouraging, that are inspiring, that are uplifting, that can bless the human condition and the inner man. Jesus would not be anti-entertainment. I'm not anti-entertainment because him as my Savior, I see that he wouldn't be. In fact, my favorite film of all time is, drum roll please, the Jesus film. Now, why would that be? Was it the most entertaining, most exciting film I've ever seen? No, it's not for that reason. I'm the biggest fan of the Jesus film because in 1979, when that film came out, sponsored by Campus Crusade for Christ, missionaries began to take it around the country. Then they translated in language after language after language. And now if you go to the website, you will find they estimate 225 million people have come to Christ because of that film. Why am I a fan of that film? Because of what it's done for the kingdom of God. Am I anti-film? No, that film alone, if I'm a fan of film, you know, and there are many films that have done great things for the kingdom and just building up the human condition.
You know, and just a side note for those maybe listening who think that Jesus is just a cosmic killjoy, you know, anything he was opposed to, anything he died for, is destructive to us. You know, all the stuff that you're talking about, if you let it play out, is bad on relationships, on health, on the integrity of the family. And so that's what it's about.
Yeah, the cosmic killjoy thing. I'm glad you brought that up, because my wife will often remind me, you know, when you're speaking, remember to tell them that you're saying this because God loves us so much, you know. Yeah. And sometimes I forget. I outline, we ought to do this, and we ought to do this, and we ought to do this. And maybe I give the impression, just what you say, that God is this cosmic killjoy, and he can't wait to, you know, spoil the fun of Christians so we can't go to all the movies and play all the video games everybody else does. It's not that. It's that he loves us so much, and he sees the harm. I mean, if that study that I read earlier is true, and I have no doubt that it is. I've seen many like that, that kids that watch sexualized movie are losing their virginity five times as faster than their peers, and we know how important saving and purity is, then alone God would care about our movie watching just for that reason. Then you take in, I've seen studies on smoking and how it's glamorized on the screen, how kids take it up, how violence. In 2000, the argument was over. The American Medical Association, the American Psychological Association, and 30 other organizations signed a document back in 2000, 12 years ago, and said the argument is totally over. Violence in the media definitely contributes, there's no doubt, to actual violence, or at the very minimum, aggressive beliefs and behaviors. And so we today, 12 years later, still arguing culturally whether the violence in the media is really a problem. Yes, it was settled 12 years ago. It is a problem.
You know, on both sides of the aisle, however many years ago, agreed smoking is bad.
Yes.
And so there was that Hollywood screenwriter, I believe, who said... Esther House. I'm responsible. He felt like what he had done was criminal, and he asked God to spare him. Talk about that, because the conviction got in him somehow.
Yeah. I don't know if he's a believer or not to this very day, but he had a real bad form of throat cancer, and he asked God, he made a deal with God essentially. Now, I don't recommend a deal with God, but that's what he did. And he essentially said, God, if you'll spare my life, I'll use my platform to help get the word out about smoking. Now, he doesn't do it in other areas. Esther House wrote, for instance, Basic Instinct. Smoking was that movie's littlest problem. You know, sexuality might have been a bigger problem. But anyways, smoking was his deal. And since that time, he said, you know, as writers, we often say we have this total freedom to write whatever we should because it's just entertainment.
An artistic license,
exactly.
Right?
And he says, but I know that I have been the cause of many 12-year-olds taking up smoking, and I now admit that it was a huge mistake to glamorize smoking in my movies. Well, I appreciate for Esther House to see the light, because he's absolutely right. But I hope he also someday gets a little more excited about other aspects of film, because it can't just be the smoking is the only thing that's influential. Everything else in the movie is entertainment, but smoking, oh, that's the biggie, you know.
You know what I marvel at is, you know, whenever there's a preacher on TV, before and after and during almost every break, it seems, this network doesn't agree and subscribe to what this programmer is saying. But it's like they never say that with the demonic stuff, you know, all the witches and all the alcoholism and, you know, college kids having these drunken parties, you know.
Well, that's because they're really not the entertainment industry when you think of television. They're the advertising industry. They entertain because they're in the advertising industry. Think back to the last Super Bowl that we had. How much did it cost for a mere 30 seconds of the clock? $3 million for a 30-second spot. Now, was it worth it? I'm not going to argue that, but I happen to think advertising is pretty powerful. But if 30 seconds of the clock is so powerful that companies are willing to pay $3 million to grab a piece of the action, then how can that same network that can charge that kind of money say that a 30-minute sitcom talking, redefining marriage to be between a man and a man isn't influencing people's behavior on, say, marriage? How can they say that the 30-minute sitcom where a teen loses their virginity and thinks they made the best decision of their life isn't influencing other teenagers to do the very same thing? 30 seconds of advertising is powerful, then that 30-minute sitcom was powerful. The two-hour movie they aired on Friday night is powerful. They can't have it both ways.
It's hypocrisy like, you know what, when I make money, I want to just tell you, your money is going to go, it's going to influence people. But when there's accountability,
it's entertainment.
Assets, yeah.
It's just
unbelievable.
Entertainment.
Oh, well, we've got a caller. Can Bob mention ClearPlay, the editing system you can use at home to edit movies down to PG level? What do you think of that? Do you know about
it? I love it. Okay. I have one, and I have been a huge fan. There are many movies that I have seen in my 19-plus years in the Plugged In, and I'm sure we've got viewers that are saying the same thing. If only it hadn't have been for that harsh profanity. Mm-hmm. If it only hadn't have been for that raunchy chunk of dialogue that came out of nowhere, this would have been a great film. I'd show my kids. I'd show my grandkids. It was a great film except for fill in the blank. Well, what a ClearPlay does, it's a DVD player that knows where you take regular DVDs that you rent or buy, you stick them in the machine. It's programmed to know where to jump over that misuse of Jesus' name. It's programmed to know that there's a nude scene right there. Very brief, but it jumps it. And there's a very extreme violent scene coming up. Boom. It jumps it. All of a sudden, movies that I would consider unacceptable, Susie, that you would consider unacceptable, you would, through a ClearPlay machine, puts it in family-friendly perspective. Another way to think of it, have you ever been on an airplane where you've watched a film on a plane and you got off and you recommended it to someone else and that someone else said, Susie, you told me to go watch so-and-so, and I did. I couldn't believe how raunchy, terrible, the language was atrocious, and you're like, I saw that film. It wasn't anything like that. And you're like, wait a minute. I saw it between Dallas and Los Angeles. Oh, I saw the airline version, and they saw the regular version. What a ClearPlay does is kind of make it like the airline version.
Wow, very interesting. Well, our time is going by so fast. You know, you cited a interview by MTV. They interviewed some Wiccan and witches, and the interviewer said, so how does one become a witch? What influenced you? Tell them the answer.
Yeah, Harry Potter and was hugely influential on causing, there was a study done in England, and they found out that some of the very new Wiccans had joined, and that because of the Harry Potter film. Now, I'm sure we've got listeners right now that have a different, we're all over the map. There's actually three films that are really tough to talk about: Twilight, Harry Potter, and The Hunger Games. It seems like believers are like all over the map, and no matter what you say about it, somebody's on the other end of the microphone or hearing it that they totally disagree. But that is a problem with witchcraft. Not, of course, there were thousands and thousands that watched it that didn't give a whip about witchcraft. But for some, it was a roadmap for them. It looked really cool. It looked really glamorous, and they decided to sign up and do that.
Well, what about when Christians compare that to the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and they're saying the same thing essentially?
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings is just a very, very different than Harry Potter. The magic is different. We actually have, for those that really want to get into it, we have a very long series on our website talking about just the magic in Harry Potter and comparing it to, for instance, the C.S. Lewis Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe magic, and kind of thing. And Snow White, the magic in Snow White. And so there's definitely differences. I'll just say right now for unpacking this, that not all things in film considered magical, or even a witch in a film. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is not the same witch you might see in a horror film where you find out, oh, it's because a witch cursed 3,000 years ago know that we have this problem.
Hmm. Well, that's a good word. And they can go to your website, pluggedin.com, right?
Yeah, and just use the search engine and use that. I would type in Harry Potter, and then they'll get to several articles on that.
Okay, I want to squeeze in this one last question from an emailer, and we've got about a minute for you to answer. And it says, it seems that boys in particular can have an addiction to video games. We have two sons, one 27, the other 16. Both spend too much time playing games. What limits do you put on the 16-year-old? We know of boys who have had to drop out of college because of gaming, which is another whole prolonged adolescent issue we can talk about another day.
Yeah, well, obviously we're past the time with the 27-year-old. We'll probably have very influence to be able to say,
good
hey,
luck finding a wife, dude.
Yeah, exactly. But with the 16-year-old, I would even say it's not too late to institute this little word of advice. For every 30 minutes the 16-year-old can play on video games, he has to demonstrate 1 hour of classic reading. So he has to read a classic book for an hour to earn the credit to play a video game for 30 minutes. And you won't believe how much that'll decrease his video game playing and increase his reading of good books.
Good. That's excellent. Wow, this has been absolutely wonderful. Well, boy, thank you for that question, by the way. Really appreciate it. Bob's links will be on our website with our podcast, which will be up in a few minutes. As we get ready to wrap up, I'm just wondering if you would just pray for our nation. Bob, I think about the impact of media and our accountability, but even as believers, we blend so much, and we do need to take a stand. So pray for the church and pray for our nation, if you would.
Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you that you loved us so much, and I'm reminded of my words, the words of my wife, to remind that we set boundaries with our children. We say yes, we say no, because you say yes and no to us, but it's because you love us. You're not a cosmic killjoy. Mm-hmm. And Father, I do pray for this nation that there would be a great awakening. A great awakening that causes us to get excited about who you are, to share the good news with our neighbor, to see, according to Isaiah 61, the captives be set free, and all the various meanings of what it is to be captive in this in this generation. But one of those ways, certainly, is that we become captive to the media messages that secular people have poured and rammed down our throats to tell us that this is acceptable when you say it's not. This is fun when you say it's addicting, and on. Father, may we see it from your eyes and not from the world's eyes. And would you cause the church to do it right so that we would have a platform and a voice to be able to share with those who are non-believers, just that our families are more successful, our marriages are staying stronger, our kids are keeping their virginity pledges, and on. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Bob, this has been such a great time today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Susan. Thanks for having me on your show.
Always great. And as you were praying, I just got to say, I was thinking of Lot, who lived among sinful people for so long. When it was time to warn his sons-in-law, they laughed at him and they thought he was joking. Yeah. And he lost his credibility. And so when you prayed that, it just was a great charge for us to redeem our integrity so that we have credibility in this day.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Bob's book is titled Plugged in Parenting, How to Raise Media Savvy Kids with Love, Not War. I'm going to leave you with this passage from Psalm 119. Listen to this. Direct my heart toward your written instructions rather than getting rich in an underhanded ways. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Give me a new life in your ways. Keep your promise to me so that I can fear you. Pray today's show blessed, challenged, and encouraged you.
But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to live.
Well, you've been listening today to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Hope you enjoyed today's show. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. I want you to tune in tomorrow for our Saturday edition. I'll be talking to Patrick Morley, and we're going to talk about the 7 primal God-given needs that all men feel deeply. We're going to explore God's plan for harnessing that energy to have you be propelled towards everything God intended for you. And I want you to remember to check out my blog this week. It's How Fear Gets in the Way of Our Freedom. And finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.